There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle Podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with me is TJ Inman. And today we are previewing the Indiana defense. Last week it was the offense. And today is the defense. TJ, how are you today?
Doing very well. Yeah, I'm excited to continue our team preview. We are, what, less than 3 weeks here from the start of the season. So, it's definitely getting real now and excited to dive in on the defense, which I think everybody knows about the offensive struggles, but the defense was very poor in 2022, and there's a number of changes that have been made both in personnel and in the structure of the coaching staff and who's going to be calling plays. So a lot of changes to discuss. And I think there's, again, much like the offense, there's a lot of reasons for optimism here, but certainly reasons and questions for, hey, is this going to work? It would be kind of Pollyanna to sit back and say, well, they brought in a lot of new players. Yay, everything's great. But I do think that there are reasons for optimism. And for me, that starts with what they've done up front with the additions to the defensive line.
Yeah. Last year, Indiana finished 12th in the Big Ten by a wide margin on points per game. Nearly 5 points per game almost. They were behind Rutgers. They gave up 33.9 points per game. Now, Cam Jones did not play after the Nebraska game. That hurt them. They gave Cincinnati a few touchdowns in that game. And the defense wasn't responsible for all the points. There was a punt return touchdown. Connor Bazelak turned the ball over a bunch as well, but giving up, they were the only Big Ten team to give up over 30 points per game. The defense got torched against Cincinnati in the secondary with guys who shouldn't be getting torched, with Tywin Mullen and Jalen Williams. Jalen Williams is now making plays in the NFL for the Vikings in the preseason. Indiana's pass defense last year gave up 274.2 yards per game. Their rush defense was not much better. They finished actually 11th in the conference at 175 yards per game. But as you said, I think there are reasons for optimism. To me, it's going to look different in terms of how it's run. The scheme's going to be the same and things like that. But you have Matt Guerrieri calling the defense. I know that it's not a guaranteed, fix all, but you go back to when IU's defense was solid under Kane Womack in 2019 and 2020. Allen was not calling the plays. He was more of the CEO in the CEO role. You did bring in Charlton Warren, and that just fell flat on their face. And then Allen called the defense last year. And it just was not good. But you're right, TJ. The reason for optimism is along that defensive line, which being at practice, it looks different. And you heard the BTN guys talking about the defensive line as well. They just look different. You're bringing in Andre Carter from Western Michigan. He's going to be an absolute dude on this defensive line. He was unblockable in the spring scrimmage. He's gotten after the quarterback in practice in the fall. He's going to be a guy, and I know in our group text, you kind of laugh at it. He might be a guy that's worth 3 or 4 points a game. And you know, given IU's close game history, that could win you a game or two. So you think about close losses, you know, to Nebraska, where Casey Thompson had time, he threw the ball downfield. You think about Ben Bryant at Cincinnati had plenty of time. And you think about the close games like Rutgers and maybe Purdue. I know it didn't end up as a close game, but it could have been. What do you like about this defensive line? Whole new bodies. Andre Carter comes in.
Yeah.
We talked about him. You have Philip Bleedy, Marcus Burris. Just let's talk and focus on this defensive line for a few minutes.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned those names. Those are all newcomers, guys that were not at Indiana last season. The coaching staff clearly knew they've got a problem up front that they have to address, and they hit it heavy in the portal. Andre Carter, certainly the headliner, but you mentioned Philip Bleedy, transfer from Texas Tech. Robbie Harrison, transfer from Arizona State. Marcus Burris, transfer from Texas A&M. They join guys that are now in their second year in the program, transfers from Ole Miss with Patrick Lucas and Ladarius Cox. You know, you bring in enough guys that have played. Now, let's not get this twisted here. These were not all SEC defensive linemen, but they are coming from SEC, Pac-12, Big 12 programs. Philip Bleedy in particular, you know, plenty of snaps that he saw at Texas Tech. He played extensively. Marcus Burris, a guy that Indiana's coaches have a connection with the Texas A&M staff and got what they believe is a very honest report about Marcus Burris' ability and his, you know, physical ability to help this football team. And really what stands out for me is that they should have a lot of versatility up front. You have multiple players that can play inside and outside. And that should allow, for one, a lot of rotation to keep guys fresh. Two, it should allow for the defensive coordinator, Matt Guerrieri, to, you know, be able to utilize some creativity with personnel and with formations, throw some different looks at offenses, and still have quality players up front. I think that's definitely something that they did not have last year. Now, the one thing that this defensive line is still lacking, we think, is just outright one-on-one beat your guy pass rushers. Now, we could be wrong about that, and there might be a few on this roster, but we have not seen that from these guys so far. So I think you are still going to be relying on scheme to get pass rush, which is that's okay. You can still get a pass rush that way, but of course, finding a difference making pass rusher is one of the more difficult things to do. Pretty much 95% of teams out there are looking for that every season. So that's what still stands out. But I do think that this line, one, they're bigger. Two, they should be more athletic. Three, they should be deeper and more versatile. They really do need to get to the pass rusher more. Got to cut down on the amount of times that they're just having blown gaps in the defensive line in their run fits. Over 4.1 yards a carry last year allowed. And the passer rating, you know, that's some to do with the secondary, some to do with the just complete lack of pass rush. Opponent passer rating of 152.42, that's terrible. That's just terrible. 30 touchdowns to only 7 interceptions. I mean, opponents had their way with this IU defense more times than not. The offense didn't do them any favors, but it needs to look a lot different. And I think that the amount of change on this defensive line could play a big part in that. You know, as we turn a linebacker, again, more newcomers at linebacker, but this one, more IU is bringing back a number of contributors. This is a mix of you know, a couple of transfers that are going to supplement things with the returning Aaron Casey to lead that unit. What do you think about the linebackers, specifically the newcomers that they've added and the return of Aaron Casey?
Yeah, I think the return of Aaron Casey is really key here. You don't want to, you know, as much as IU's defense struggled last year, it's really hard to come back. It's not professional football where these guys are at it 18 hours a day and getting paid for it, to have somebody returning. So it's you have a key piece returning to that unit. Casey was productive. He played well. He's a great teammate. You know, there's a reason they gave him George Taliaferro's number 44. He's productive on the field. I think if he could stay healthy, and he was a warrior last year, he played through a lot of injuries. I know he didn't play against Purdue, but that's just because he couldn't.
Yeah.
He was banged up against Michigan State. You know, we forget at the end of the year, IU was playing Brian Fitzgerald at linebacker. And that's how devastated they got by injuries and things like that. But you bring back Jared Casey as well. Caden Turner is a year older. He had a really nice last three games of the season. You know, he led the team in tackles against Purdue. I believe he started that game as well. He played against Michigan State. He played against Ohio State. So he's gotten his feet wet against some of the Big Ten's best. You bring in Jacob Magnum Ferrara from Stanford. He just looks different. He kind of looks like Deshaun McCullough in terms of size and length. I think that's another thing that IU's defense really got better at in the portal. They're getting longer, more athletic guys. And Jacob Magnum Ferrara is that guy. It's 6'4", 240. He should be battling for the starting role. If not that, he's definitely going to be in the rotation. You bring in Joshua Rudolph, who's kind of, if you took Jacob Magnum Ferrara and squished him down by 5 inches, you got Joshua Rudolph. He's fast. You know, I always go back to the play I saw in spring practice where they're, I think it was in 7-on-7, maybe even team drill, where quarterback throws an interception. You go, hold on, where did that linebacker come from? And it was Joshua Rudolph just, you know, blazing across and the receiver's face and making a play. You bring back Matt Holt, who's, you know, he's a bigger guy and a thicker guy. You saw him play, and as long as his shoulder's fine, he's good. But you saw him play against the run a lot. Isaiah Jones played. Daryl Miner is going to be in the rotation. He's coming in from UTEP. There's some unproven people there, but man, there's some talent there as well. And if IU could go three deep at each of those, you know, their two linebacker positions, I think they set up well, but they do have to stay healthy, and they need Aaron Casey to stay healthy.
Right. Yeah, Casey's the key to it. And then, you know, you put him in permanent marker as a starter. Who's going to be that second starter? It does seem like Jacob Magnum Ferrar might have the leg up to get that second starting position. That's a big linebacking duo. If you're starting Casey and JMF, you know, right next to each other, that's, you know, they're both 6'2 plus, 235 plus. Those are a big pair of starting linebackers. You know, I think that what you would love to have is a little bit more pass coverage from this group. I'm not 100% sold on the linebacker's ability to defend the middle of the field quite as well as you'd like. But I think there is the potential to do that. Joshua Rudolph is a guy that should be able to do that pretty well. And then the other area that you just, you're not going to know until you see it, but this group has got to be sure tacklers. Indiana, and that's the case with every defense, but you need your linebackers to prevent, you know, 4 or 5 yard carries from turning into 15, 20 yard carries.
Yeah, you need that
past that second level of the defense. You know, that's got to, that has to stop. And yeah, it happened too many times last season. It's got to stop.
Yeah, you got to make that tackle when you have a chance to get off the field. I think when Tom Allen turned the defense around in 2016 and 2017, that's what IU did really well. Was, you know, they forced a lot of three and outs. They got the defense off the field, and they let the offense go to work. Defense could, you know, take a breather and get back out there. Tackling is going to be huge. That was a big emphasis by Tom Allen before the first scrimmage. We'll see how it went, and you know it's going to be a tough sled against Ohio State to see if you're a sound tackling team against those guys. But let's bring in the Bulls as well, since they are that hybrid linebacker defensive end. Linnell Carr is a guy. He's coming over from West Virginia. He could be a difference in pass rush. Miles Jackson, you speak about people in coverage. He, I thought, played the pass pretty well last year from that bull position. He's back, a guy who's kind of under the radar. And if we do a sleeper pick, Anthony Jones, redshirt transfer from Oregon. He looks like a dude. And he, you know, he's learning the system, and he came in during the summer. I think he's going to be a difference maker there at the bull position right now. We'll see where they end up sticking him. But there needs to be a little bit more depth at bull. But I think those guys can make a welcome addition to that, you know, linebacker defensive line room.
Yeah, they need pass rush from this group in Indiana's defense. Again, pass rush is going to have to come from the scheme somewhat. You're not going to have too many situations where you just line up and, you know, okay, our two defensive ends are going to beat your tackles and, you know, get pressures. That's ideal, but probably not going to happen all that often. What you can do is get pressure through scheme, and some of that could come from the bull position. Anthony Jones, Miles Jackson, Linnell Carr, you know, guys that have all coming from Power Five programs. And then Orlando Greenlow started, I mean, he came in as an athlete. He's very long. You know, he looks like what you want in a pass rusher if he can put on, you know, a little bit of weight to his frame. Which he will, you know, he's a freshman, so he will do that. I don't know if he's going to be ready to make an impact there yet. It was up in the air as far as he's going to be a receiver or a bull. He's now listed with the Bulls.
I was about to say that. He was originally listed with the wide receivers when the initial roster came back. Now he's an outside linebacker. Saw that in practice. I had to take a double take just to make sure, because one, he's wearing number 40, and he was wearing number 40 with the wide receiver group, which is odd for wide receiver. But you know, he's a guy who has length, is a good athlete, but he's only 220 pounds. So is he one of these guys who, in spot duty, if he's fast enough to get around the edge on a third down package, you bring him in, or is he a candidate to play four games and redshirt and develop him and things like that? But he's an interesting prospect. Him and Anthony Miller, who we talked about when we did the offense, are two guys who could play both ways and could have some big potential for IU.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I of this group, you know, I would think that Lenell Carr would probably have the leg up on being first on the field, Miles Jackson and Anthony Jones right behind him. It's a group that they're asked to do a lot of different things, asked to play in pass coverage, asked to get pressure on the quarterback. It's a difficult position in IU's defense, but one that is really important. And I do really think that getting Lenell Carr, who is a proven Power 5 contributor, and Anthony Jones, who has a very high athletic ceiling, raises what this group is capable of doing. Those were two very important later adds in the transfer portal for Indiana's defense. Here we on to defensive back now. Yeah. Okay. Looking to safety or cornerback, one and the same. This is probably the biggest concern for Indiana's defense moving into 2023. Again, we talk about earlier the passer rating that IU gave up, north of 152. Only 7 interceptions to 30 passing touchdowns. Multiple Big Ten games where quarterbacks had season highs for yardage. It was a group that you had high expectations for, and it just really did not play out that way for the past two seasons, because 2021 was also disappointing for that secondary. So a lot is going to be said preseason about how much Indiana lost in terms of production and number of snaps from their secondary. You're going to hear that number a lot, and it's true. Tywan Mullen, Jalen Williams, Monster Matthews, gone from the secondary. That's a lot of starts, a lot of experience. But when you look at the quality of play for the past two seasons, it was time for Indiana to go a different direction, and that's what they've done here. Again, hit the portal hard, bring in JoJo Johnson, who a recent addition here, is able to qualify and get in with the team here within the past, and I guess within the past week or so, from Iowa Western Community College, played his freshman season. He was with Notre Dame. Kobe Miner, transfer from Texas Tech. Jameer Johnson, transfer from Texas. Nick Toomers, transfer from Stanford. Tyrick McDaniel from Community College, Independence Community College. Jamison Kelly, another community college guy, JUCO guy. Jordan Shaw, true freshman. So a ton of newcomers and youth coming into the program at this position. And I think that what you're looking at is probably Noah Pierre starting at Husky. That one you can put in permanent marker. Tons of experience. He's a leader in that secondary. You feel good about him there. After that, it is a total question mark as far as how it's going to play out. I think Jameer Johnson is probably odds-on favorite to be one of the starting corners. And after that, you're guessing. I do think that JoJo Johnson has impressed since he came in. Phillip Dunham, sophomore from Miami that got some time last year, he has impressed. But I think that you have so many question marks as far as how it's going to play out that it would be impossible to project. But one thing we know with certainty is that Indiana is starting over back there at the secondary, and it feels like they needed to, but until they go out there and prove it, this is a gigantic question mark for the Hoosiers. And again, the first week is not when to judge this group.
Unless they do awesome.
Against Ohio State is not when to judge this group.
Unless they do awesome. Then you could judge them all you want. But yeah, I'm right there with you. This is, if you go back to 2021 and 2022, I don't know if disappointing is the right word. I think it was concerning, very concerning, because you had guys who were proven, an All-American in Taiwan Mullen, an All-Big Ten guy in Jalen Williams and Monster Matthews, and they just fell off the face of the earth. Like, it wasn't that receiver, like, they just schemed up to stay away from them. Teams were attacking them on the deep ball. You saw it at Nebraska. You saw it at Cincinnati. And they just – I don't know. I still don't know what happened. Because clearly it's not a talent-level thing. You see Jalen Williams playing well in the preseason. So I think it's – the change is a good thing. There's a lot of unknowns. Yeah, you should not judge them based off of the Ohio State game when you have all universe wide receiver Marvin Harrison and a couple other guys on Ohio State. But yeah, right now I think Jameer Johnson is clearly your number one corner. He's made some outstanding plays both in the spring scrimmage and during practice on the videos that IU has put out. JoJo Johnson, he's going to be really good. I just don't know if he has enough time in the program to throw him out there on week one. Kobe Miner, he did not participate in the scrimmage last week. Allen said he was supposed to return to practice on Monday. If he is healthy and ready to go, I think he's the starter opposite of Johnson. Other than that, James Mons has been playing well. Jamari Sharp has been playing well. The guy to look out for is Jordan Shaw. He's a true freshman, four-star recruit. He's a little skinny, but he's got fluid hips, quick feet, and if he could put on weight, he's definitely going to be at least an all Big Ten caliber corner. And then you also have Nick Toomer coming in from Stanford, who's going to be at corner, but he has played corner and safety in his career at Stanford. He's also another guy, if you could have Toomer, Jameer Johnson and Kobe Miner be set as your three corners, I think you're okay. At least the first line. After that, you got to hope that guys like James Mons, Jamari Sharp, and, you know, maybe you rely on Jordan Shaw later in the season. That way you have a little bit of depth. Let's move to safety. Philip Dunham was also a corner, but, you know, some people have him listed safety. He was a guy who, if you don't remember, he's the one who got burned on that touchdown against Nebraska where you're like, what are you doing? But I'll take that play all day if you come back and improve yourself like he has this fall as a true freshman. I'm not saying that your seniors need to go out and make a play like that. But if you have a freshman who makes a play like that, has the mental fortitude to come back, to prove himself, to make plays, he's done that. Amari Farrell is another freshman. He reminds me of Cam Jones when he was younger, where they moved him to Husky, and then eventually he got too big and they moved him to linebacker. He's going to play some. Bryson Bonds might start, might be in the two deep, which is kind of concerning. He just hasn't looked like the player that they recruited him to be. Lewis Moore looks solid. You bring in Jamison Kelly. You bring in Tyreek McDaniel. And so thankfully you get Noah Pierre and Josh Sanguinetti back. It's somebody who knows the secondary calls and can do that. So I think, I don't want to say they're in good shape, but you have the pieces there to be a good secondary. It's just, can you put them together? And they don't even have to be great. They just have to be slightly better than last year.
Yeah, I really enjoy watching Noah Pierre play. I think he is rock solid, and I'm very glad he decided to come back for his final season. I think he's been underappreciated, but, you know, whenever he's been called upon during his IU career, he makes plays. And I'm looking forward to seeing him in his last season in Bloomington. I think I'm probably more concerned about safety than I am corner, which is not what I expected to be saying heading into the season, but I that's kind of where I find myself when I end up reviewing the depth charts.
That's fair.
Or just making one in my head and going through the roster. I always end up feeling a little better about the options at corner than I do the options at safety. But I think if you go through the three levels of the defense, the secondary is the one that right now opponents would be licking their lips at and just saying, hey, I think we can make some hay against that secondary. That's not to say that they can't end up being pretty good. But I think right now, without opponents seeing any tape against Indiana, I think they would look at this secondary based on what they know of it from last season and feel like they can move the ball through the air when they want to. It's up to this group to reverse the trend that we've seen the last two seasons. Are they capable of doing it? We're going to find out. I do like the length. Again, this is something we talk about at the other levels of the defense as well. The length and size that these corners have, this is a bigger secondary group than IU has had the past couple of years. You know, Mullen and Chandler Williams, not the biggest corners. IU is going to be putting out some longer corners this season, particularly with Toomer, Jameer Johnson, Jordan Shaw's got good length. And the safeties are a little longer as well. So that'll be something to watch, is how does that length come into play, and can they utilize that to be better in pass coverage? It's going to have to work in conjunction with the scheme. So I guess we'll talk about Tom Allen ceding the play calling duties to new defensive coordinator, Matt G, or Coach G, as
Guerrieri
often gets shorthanded. What overall your thought on Tom Allen making that, what I feel was a necessary decision, and your impressions of Matt Guerrieri, you know, that you've seen during practice? I know it's difficult to get a grasp on things, but for those that don't know, coming from Duke and most recently Ohio State, what have been your impressions of him, and what do you think he is going to bring as far as a play caller and it not being Tom Allen in 2023?
I think it's an A-plus move, just with how college football is trending, where the head coach has to be more of a CEO. You have to navigate NIL. You have to navigate the transfer portal. I think you have to have more of a pulse on your team. And I think Allen realized that, especially last year when you heard him snap on the coach's show with Don Fisher about NIL and things like that. But it seems it seems like he has much more control of things right now. Matt Guerrieri is, I I think, an excellent hire. The times I've spoken to him, he's been great. He's younger, energetic. He comes from the Jim Knowles system. Now, his numbers at Duke, you know, the last year or so weren't great, but that Duke team wasn't great either. I think it helps him being at Ohio State last season. You a lot of similar opponents that he has prepared for as an analyst at Ohio State that IU will play this year and in the future. From practice, he's a guy who will hold you accountable. You're going to do it right, and you're going to do it over again until you get it right. And if you still don't get it right, you're going to do up downs. So it's kind of like that old school meshes with new school mentality. Coach Allen trusts him. I don't want to get into like predictions for it, but if they could find that magic they had with Kane Womack, who is, you know, brilliant defensive mind, you know, kind of a younger guy and took the defense out of Tom Allen's hands, they might have that in Matt Guerrieri. Time will tell. But I think overall it was a necessary move, especially in the climate that is college football today.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I don't really have anything of substance to add, so we'll not belabor the point there. It's something to watch for sure. I think there's a necessary change, and on paper, everything about it makes a lot of sense. We'll see how it plays out. And again, it's something that you cannot take a one game or a three game sample size and say, well, that was a great hire, that was a bad hire. Give it some time to play out, compare to that 2022 defense and see where progress has been made. Looking, you know, we're each going to pick one sleeper candidate or one player to watch, if you will.
To not be Andre Carter.
Right. He's off the board.
Make it difficult.
So
or more difficult.
For my pick, and again, I do not consider Noah Pierre a sleeper. Yeah, that's a guy that people should know about. Aaron Casey, a guy people should know about. So I'm going to go with Jameer Johnson, as the player to watch. I think he's critical to Indiana's season. You've got to have a corner you can trust. Jameer Johnson, coming from Texas, has drawn rave reviews since he arrived on campus. So I'm going with Jameer Johnson as Indiana's number one corner. He's going to have a lot of difficult assignments in this season. And I believe that he will be able to produce at a pretty good level. I have more questions about the second corner and the safeties, but I feel good about Jameer Johnson as IU's number one corner. That's my pick.
That's a good pick. I am going to go on the defensive line, not going to go Andre Carter. I'll follow my own rules. I'm going to go with Marcus Burris. Marcus Burris is listed at 280, I believe. Talking to the coaches, he does not move like a guy who weighs 280 pounds. He moves like a guy who weighs 230, which is kind of attributes that you don't really find at IU that often. He could play inside. He's listed at 290. He could play inside. He could play outside. He talked about that versatility at the top of the show. I take what he did at Texas A&M last season with a grain of salt, just because Texas A&M was a train wreck. But he was a highly recruited guy, who's consensus four-star recruit, and I think he's going to have a breakout season for IU, either at that defensive end position or at the three tech position. They're going to move him all around. But in the spring practices, he was really tough to block. So I'm going to go with Marcus Burris. But the no-brainer answer for both of us was Andre Carter.
Yeah, that's Andre Carter. Is Indiana did not have much to cheer about on NFL draft day. Andre Carter, if he stays healthy, will be selected in the next NFL draft. And I think a big season from him could push him up pretty far. He's a guy that is going to do well in the draft process. So if he can put some really good tape on the record and have a productive season for Indiana, he's going to hear his name called relatively early, not first round or anything, but he's going to be a very solid draft selection. He's definitely looked like the best player for Indiana's defense. I think you could make the case that Marcus Burris is going to be their second best defensive lineman. Look, Indiana's season is going to depend on several things, but they need to do a much better job getting back to playing complementary football.
Yep.
The offense and the defense both need to help each other. And that's when we're analyzing, oh, the defense gave up this many points, or the offense, did this. I really think the offense's ability to stay on the field and not get clobbered in time of possession every week is going to go a long way toward determining how good the defense can be. It just absolutely saps you of, one, morale, but two, energy, when you are losing the time of possession battle 60-40 or 65-35% every week.
Yep.
And it's not because your offense is going out there scoring in five plays every drive.
Yep.
And that's not what was happening, as we all know. So getting back to that complementary football, and for the defense, that means creating some takeaways, creating some havoc, getting some turnovers to give your offense a short field occasionally. That goes a long way to helping the offense. So we've previewed the offense, we've previewed the defense. We'll dive into special teams. After that, we are pretty much right there at game week. So we're getting there, folks. We are getting there. It's been a long off season, but it's almost done. And I'm really fired up for 2023 college football season.
Yeah, and we had no realignment talk this week. So excellent.
That's right. Yep, we stayed away from it. We stayed away from it, thankfully.
Thankfully, the Pac-4 still exists today.
Today.
We'll get to special teams next week, and then we'll get somebody on from the Buckeye Huddle to talk Ohio State. We'll get into our game week previews and all that stuff. But right now, we're still doing our season previews, our first glance previews, and all of that stuff. TJ, thanks for joining me. Today, we've got less than 10 days, I think, less than 2 weeks until the first FBS games start on August 26th.
Right.
So it's here. The season's here. Talking season's almost over. I know people are tired of hearing our voices without seeing any games. So thanks for joining me. Enjoy the rest of the week, and we'll talk special teams next week.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good week.
All right. Thank you for listening to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. You can find our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you subscribe to your podcast. Like it. Give us a 5-star review. Comment on it. You can find us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle, as well as on Facebook and Instagram. So thank you. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll talk special teams next time.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.